Welcome back. Joe McQuillan with us. My Search for Christopher is the name of his book about his deceased son. And actually, it's his son's book about life. So we'll be back in a moment with your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you. Joe McQuillan with us. My Search for Christopher. Joe, have you kicked around the possibilities of why the connection, why this all happened? Why did Christopher need to communicate with you?
Yeah, a couple things. One is that we had that kind of relationship. We were very close. You know, we got each other, and been told that we've actually spent a few lifetimes together in different roles, which doesn't surprise me. One is siblings, because we were so comfortable with each other. And I think that Christopher felt that there was a mission and that I'd be a good ambassador to get the word out. I mean, I'm a 62-year-old guy, play hockey, got a brush cut, got a broken nose. I might be able to carry this message to guys and parents who need this more than somebody else. I'm a pretty boots-on-the-ground kind of guy. So I've had a lot of friends say to me, if I heard this from somebody else, I wouldn't believe it. But because it's you, I'm in 100%. So, you know, I think, you know, Chris is evolving. Chris is in spirit over there. And I think part of what they do is help others over here. And there's that gap. You know, guys don't know it's okay to grieve and it's okay to connect in this way.
Has he shown emotion?
Oh, sure.
He does.
Joy, happiness, humor. Still busts my stones, George. He busts my stones all the time. You know, at one point I asked a medium, this was on the phone, and I said to her, you know, ask Chris if he ever felt we've come up short. And then, remember, this is on the phone. And the woman said, Nancine said, Chris said, God, no, you've never come up short. You are short, Pop, but you've never come up short. So, you know, that's the same. They're the same personality when they were here. And that's what some people don't understand. If your kid has been outgoing and kind of, you know, full of life on this side, the chance of him coming through are a lot stronger than if you were reticent and held back and kind of reserved, because you're waiting for other people to go through. With Thomas John a couple months ago, he was bringing a spirit through to his mom. And the kid was holding back, and Chris said, "Nah, you're going now," and told Thomas, "You know, tell this young man's mom that he needs to talk to her." And damned if it didn't go through that way, you know. So the same personalities cover. I think they carry through lifetimes. You know, the same. That soul is that same personality. So, lots of emotions from him.
Did he ever?
Frustration when I don't do what I'm told to do.
Did he ever explain that fateful day when the canoe tipped?
He did. Through the first medium, he explained. He said that they were roughhousing around, and it's funny. I've never said this before, but that a shoelace got caught on something. You know, he didn't say if it was his or somebody else's, and the boat turned over.
Huh.
And the one thing he did say is that remember they all had big, big, bulky Timberland boots. And they were always, you know, untied, you know.
Yeah.
The one thing he did say, we were together, Dad. I was with my friends. I was never alone.
And what's so amazing and sad is you had four of them, and not even one could get out of there and escape.
That was the amazing thing. And what we've been told is that, you know, the ice just kept. It was only 10 feet of water. 10 feet of water.
That's it.
But it might have been 50 feet away.
Well, then the hypothermia probably hit them fast.
Well, it was the hypothermia. They all had a snootful, you know, which the good and bad is, you know, maybe if they, you know, A, if they didn't, they wouldn't have made the bad decisions that they did. You know,
correct.
Possibly. And second is, but I think I've been told by mediums that it enabled him to transition real easy. It was like passing out or falling asleep.
All right, let's go to the phones lining up here for you. We'll go to St. Louis, where I am right now. George is with us. Sounds like I'm talking to my doppelganger, right, George?
Oh, that's right. We're in the hometown.
Yes, we are.
But anyway, good morning, George. Good morning, Joe.
But, hey, George.
what you're describing, Joe, is a situation similar to, like, in Star Wars, you know, the Force.
Yeah.
Where that envelops all of this and surrounds us. But that's very interesting. But did from your son, did you get any sense of any kind of a grand plan, any kind of direction for humankind? Any indication that we're making as a race making all kinds of mistakes or we're achieving great things? Did you get any sense of a direction for humankind?
You know what? I have not. But you know, I just don't think he and I are on that level. We're kind of like. You know, like guerrilla marketing is when it's on that local level. I think he and I, and once again, this is all, you know, we've been communicating like this for a few years. And so it's all pretty new as far as lifetimes go. And so I don't know if he wants me to, you know, steer society in any way. He wants me to act differently. And he wants me to pursue a different avenue to help people. And so that's what we're doing. So, you know, I think it was rare that he and I talked about global things when we were together hanging out at a minor league baseball game, you know, and it's the same thing. I think he thinks I can make an impact one dad at a time or a small group at a time or, you know, 100 and, you know, people, audience at a time. But it's not global. This isn't Fatima. He's not coming to me with events to change the world. He's coming to me with events of how I can help change, you know, people in my life.
Explain now the book for us, if you would, My Search for Christopher, Joe.
Well, My Search for Christopher on the Other Side is literally the journey. It's a travelogue back and forth. And it talks about, you know, what my search involved, and it involves mediums, and it involves, and it, you know, it doesn't involve healers or psychics because I'm not involved. That's not what I'm looking for. I don't want to be a medium, George. I don't want to talk to your Uncle Fred, right?
Yeah.
I want to communicate with my son. So what's kind of different about this?
And by the way, I do have an Uncle Fred that passed on.
Maybe I am a medium. You know, get me on the show. So what this is more about, the understanding of the journey that I went through is I kept opening doors and finding these strange things, like going to a wedding in Sarasota, sneaking out of the wedding like I always do, the reception, and just driving to a beach and feeling this closeness with him. And then a year later, finding out that beach is Siesta Key is not sand, but quartz crystal. I've got some quartz of that sand sitting on my desk right here, and I sprinkle it when I'm about to talk to Chris, and that was flown down from it would flow down with the Appalachian 2,000 years ago, so that's why the Indians consider that a sacred spot. I mean, that's the journey and that aha moment where, like, now I get why that was such an easy place to connect. Because there were events that caused it to be there, as John Holland calls thin places, you know, and so, you know, as I'm walking through these, I'm walking through the first time, going, really, is this what's going on? And so I want the reader, and it's a kind of easy read, believe it. I think it's a 2 or 3 sitting read, and you walk away going, okay, it gives you a base information of, you know, roll it up, put it in your back pocket if you're trying to step onto the other side and figure things out. This helps you out a little bit.
Was he happy with the outcome of the book?
He loved the book. He loves the result. He's pleased. I'll tell you a very cool story. I just got a text from his old girlfriend. They were friends. They grew up together here in North Shore.
All right. Is she listening to you now?
Oh, yeah. He's okay. Right here. I can feel him on the back of my neck. He's around. He's been around since I got up. I took a nap before I got up to talk to you guys. And he's around. I mean, there's just 100%. And he's pleased with this conversation. And not in a holier than thou pleased, like, okay, you know, he's proud of his old man. That's what he really is. And
right.
So I did a book signing, and it went at the community house, and it was great. It was 140 people. That's kind of unbelievable.
That's big.
That's pretty cool. And a lot of friends and a medium that Andrew Anderson that I've mentioned before walked up to a girl in the audience and said, "I don't know who you are. I'm Andrew." And he said, "Chris is always next to his dad. And I was up at a podium talking." He said, "But Chris has been with you this entire event."
And that's the girlfriend, I bet.
And that was the old girlfriend who was the love of his life. And when he was around her, he tried to be a better man. And then she had a phone interview with him, and she sent me the dialogue, you know, of the interview. And it was amazing. And it was stuff that only they knew together. You know, those are the things that say, okay, you know. And what I wrote, I'm real pleased with it. I'm delighted with the book. But there's so much more after this now. And I'm so fortunate that this continues. And as this continues, he and my connection to each other stays so immensely strong. It's selfish for me.
Sure. You had mentioned Wayne Dyer. He, of course, has been on this program a lot and has now gone to the other side. He's probably up there with Christopher helping him.
I wouldn't be surprised.
He was that kind of guy.
And he was the kind of guy that Chris loved. And you know, Chris, for kind of a, kind of a wild kid and fun and loving. I mean, he had this, you know, he read The Power of Now. He understood that. He understood there was something more, in life. And he was trying to get his arms around that stuff, which was pretty unique for a 20-year-old kid, you know.
Let's go to Julie in Columbus, Ohio. Hey, Julie, I'll be out there in May. Hi.
So I've heard. The Lincoln Theater is a beautiful theater.
Super. Looking forward to that.
So hi, Joe. Joe, I wondered something. I was in psychoanalysis with she was a psychologist and a Franciscan nun, and she died unexpectedly of cancer quite a while back. And for a full year, I felt her presence. And I was thinking about that with your son. It was very real. And I felt like she was, because she died unexpectedly, she was just staying with me to help me get through that year. I wonder, you've sort of spoken about that, but I wonder if you could speak to that again.
And what was the question? I'm sorry, I didn't do it.
Kind of how you felt your son's presence, because I felt her presence for a full year to sort of help me get through it.
There's certain places that I feel, when I'm in my Jeep, especially listening to music or having a cigar, I feel close to him. I go to his grave all the time, Julie. And now this isn't a maudlin kind of sad thing, like look at the guy sitting on the park feeding, you know, pigeons. I have a folding chair. I grab the dog. I run out to the grave. I sit there and we talk, and I feel his presence there. Now, Thomas John, who's this wonderful medium, said to me, he looked at me and goes, it was a one-on-one. He said, "Do you go to a grave a lot?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Like recently?" I said, "Yeah, yesterday." And he said, "Look, I tell most parents when they go to the grave, don't go there. They're not there. But I'm going to tell you, that's a great place for you guys to communicate." You know, he said, of course, he doesn't live there, but he travels with you or meets you there. And it, for some reason, and I don't know why, and maybe I'll learn and as I continue forward, that the energy there is very conducive to us connecting. You know, so I keep going back there. I like it a lot better in the warm weather, Julie, in Chicago than in the cold weather.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I know that he comes there. When I golf, you know, he and I would golf together occasionally, you know. And when I golf, I feel him around me. I talk to him all the time. So, you know, there's certain spots when I'm on beaches at night, I don't know why, but there's this connection that we have. You know, I was sitting in Naples visiting my sister, and after dinner went to a beach at night and sat there, and I got the message that said, you know, go to Sarasota. And I was like, oh, damn, man, that's a two-hour ride, you know. I'm tired. And but, you know, would I go 2 hours to see my kid? You know, if you lost somebody you love, would you travel 2 hours? So, you know, of course I went there, and I felt got a really great connection to him there. And I really laughed, really, because I said, I know what he's doing. He's turning to a pail up and on the other side saying, see, I told you the old man show up. You know,
he's so, got bets going.
Yeah. So I feel his connection and I feel him close. And the benefit for me is this isn't just to help me over the hump. You know, this is for me to be able to provide service to other people going through what I've done, and I don't think that ends until I've crossed with him.
Was there ever a time, Joe, that he didn't communicate with you and you thought, oh my gosh, he's gone?
You do this for a living, George. I like these, you know, I'm like, yeah, you know what? I had a healing. Now, remember, everybody, what I really believe is do your thing, man. Everybody do your thing. And so my wife had a healing that was life-changing for her, a psychic healing. And so last year she did one for me as a birthday present, and I hated it. The woman was telling me that Christopher was stuck and needed help getting pushed. I just hated it. Yeah. I felt I just couldn't wait to get off the phone. If I didn't think I was being rude, I'd have hung up and broken the phone and maybe burned it. I don't know. But I hated it. And so I was concerned as heck that would maybe have broken the connection.
Mm-hmm. Scared him off or something.
3 a.m. came, you know, the next day, which was the anniversary itself, and Hey Pop came busting through. So it was like, oh my God.
You know? So what a relief.
What a relief. And he's told me countlessly through the book, don't worry about this. This isn't gonna end until you cross, till we're together again. So there's no reason to think he's lying to me.
But not yet.
Yeah, not yet.
John, truck driving in California. Hi John, go ahead, sir.
Yes, this is actually very, very good that Joe is doing what he's doing, because I had a daughter that just passed away in September.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
I actually was with her as she passed. My wife couldn't make it to the hospital in time, and my sister happened to be there at the time, and we sat in the room after she passed for well over an hour with her. And they had turned all the machines off, all the monitors off, everything was off, and the ICU nurse was in there with us, and the machines just started, all the bells and whistles were going off. She said, I've been doing this for 20 years. I've never seen these things do this. And she took the machines out of the room, and when she took all the machines out of the room, the machines finally gave her a message that said, now you can turn off the machines. And that was the message that she gave me.
Yep.
That now she was there.
She passed on and she was okay. That's they work in strange ways, Joe, don't they?
Well, you know, and I got to tell you, people are going to say to you and have said to you, you know, I know what you're going through. And they don't. I know what you're going through.
They don't.
And my oldest pal was like a brother. Alan said to me, he lost his wife early. And he said, you know, people are going to come up to you and say dumb things. And he said, in my case, I told them they were stupid. And he said, and so I spent 6 months telling everybody how full of bunk they were, and then spent the next year trying to bridge those relationships. So he said, so try to be patient with people.
Joe, we're going to come back and take final calls with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We're going to come back with final calls as we talk about my search for Christopher on our next Coast to Coast program. Mark Lerner, the astrologer, joins us for a couple hours as we talk about world events and things that could happen. He'll also do some readings later on in the program, so that'll be on our next Coast to Coast show. Okay, welcome back. Our final segment here with Joe McQuillan as we talk about his work, My Search for Christopher. Joe, where do people get the book, by the way?
So the book is My Search for Christopher on the Other Side, and it's on Amazon.com. It's in paperback. It's in Kindle edition, and they're working on an Audible right now.
Super. That'll be great. Let's take some final calls here for you. Let's go next to Barry in Rock Hills, South Carolina. Hey, Bear. Welcome.
Hello, George and Joe. I tell you what, George, I was going to say something funny about ZZ Top, but I'll save it for another time.
Yes, sir.
Such a great call tonight, George. It's going to go down in history. It's one of your greatest achievements. And I'm telling you, Joe, I could have written your book, and I know where you're coming from, buddy, because my dad and I had the same connection that you and Christopher did, except he was my dad instead of my son.
Right.
But I've lived 47 years without him, but I've lived 47 years with him, Joe. Because he's with me all the way. He's kept me out of jail. He's kept me out of being too drunk to drive. I've had enough get out of that car and sleep on the street if you have to, but don't drive that car.
Right.
But anyway, thank you so much for the book. I can't wait for the audio book because I'm half blind. But anyway, thanks again. You too,
you're welcome.
Okay, Barry, very kind of you.
And
thank you,
you know,
so
my
much.
My old man comes through with Chris occasionally with mediums, and he said, don't worry, Joe, I got the kid.
How does your family feel now about the Christopher issue, the book, and all that?
Well, you know what? I think everybody understands that there's a spiritual bent, and I think they've all been exposed to a little bit since I've been on this rodeo ride to mediums and such. So, you know, I think there's an acceptance to what I'm doing. You know, my son came up to me yesterday on my birthday and just said, I want you to know how proud I am of you. So, you know, Chris took a lot of the air out of the room when he was here, and he still does, and I think that can be difficult sometimes, but they're all embracing this, you know. So, and I've been supportive. You know, the one thing about being the youngest of 10 kids from a dysfunctional Irish family is you really don't care what anybody outside your family thinks anyhow, but I do care about what parents who've lost kids think. So that's why I'm doing this.
Lois is with us in British Columbia, Canada now. Lois, go ahead, please.
Hi, George.
Hey, Lois.
Very happy New Year to you and your guests.
Well, thank you. You too.
In 2015, my son Rick committed suicide, May 3rd.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
2 years later, my other son, who was only 14 months old, younger than Rick, was murdered.
Oh, my God.
And I'm just hoping that the two of them are together. That's the only thing that keeps me together, that keeps my becoming unglued. I'm just hoping and praying that they are together.
They do migrate together, Joe, don't they?
You know what? And there are. I've been told that there's soul families. I'm told that my family comes together for events. I'm told that my dad is with my son all the time, and my older brother Jerry's there. So I feel real confident that they probably are together over there. The son who went first wasn't going to let your other son, you know, stumble over without him greeting him. And I think, you know, when people tell me they haven't had a connection with somebody, I say, just try a little harder. You know, work at it. Open your mind. Try to find a way to connect. And I think your boys probably want to talk to you, so give it your best shot. And my heart goes out to you. It truly does.
Thank you, Lois. I hope everything works out. Next up, we go to Chuck in Buffalo, New York. Chuck, it's your turn. Go ahead, Chuck.
How you guys doing? Happy birthday, Joe.
I'm from Buffalo, Chuck.
Yeah, that's what you started my, you piqued my interest when I heard from Buffalo. my son Jacob passed away in a car accident last January 12th.
Oh, geez.
Right by where the Bills play. So
yeah,
that's how you got my attention.
Yeah, I grew up in Hamburg.
Oh, yeah? I live in Derby, but I put Buffalo.
Oh, yeah. I dated a girl from Derby, and the Zillners were from Derby. So, yeah, I went to St. Francis.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I went to Lakeshore.
Yeah, my brother Paul went to Frontier.
Oh, so it's a small world.
Is it?
I went to a medium, and there are so many things that she told me that she should never have known.
Right.
Because we worked together. He hadn't started college yet. And we worked together. And he woke up, and like, he left right away. And as he was leaving, I was making our sandwiches and for lunch. And I'm like, I'll race you there. And he's like, yeah, whatever, Dad. And then we're driving there right by the college there.
Yeah.
And I see his car all crumpled up in the middle of the road.
Oh, man.
And I turn around. And the cops were there. They had just gotten out of the car, and they're like, "Are you a witness?" And I said, "No, I'm his dad." And
yeah.
They're like, "I'm sorry, you know, and your son didn't make it."
Oh.
So, but there's like so many things that you say like resonate, like the things people say, and then going to the cemetery, like the whole, like moving him.
Yeah.
I said the same thing. I said somebody's moving because I'm going to be next to him. The neighborhood changes.
Somebody's moving is right. We're from Buffalo. Shoved out.
Yeah. And it's just funny that, you know, is that book at Barnes & Noble?
No, you know, it should be at BarnesandNoble.com eventually, but it's at Amazon.com. And, you know, my email is jbmcquillan@gmail.com. You know, reach out to me after you get it. Dude, send me your address. I'll send you a signed copy. You know, I feel what's going on with you, bro. I'm there. I'm just ahead of you in the journey. Actually,
go ahead, Chuck.
Like everybody else says, oh, I know how it is. And
no,
you
they don't, Chuck. No. You and I know.
But you do.
He does. He went through what you went through.
Yeah, you and I know. You know, nobody else knows. You know, you and I know.
They just
know.
I would prefer people to say, I don't know what you're going through. I've not gone through it, but whatever.
Yeah. As opposed to somebody saying, you know, I lost an uncle. I know exactly what you feel. And all you want to do is just close the door and walk away. But you and I get it, and my heart goes out for you. And I'd love to send you a copy. JBMcQuillan@gmail. Send me your address. You know, you don't have to go through Amazon. I'll send you an autographed copy, and bro, you got any questions after you read it, you want to reach out, call me, email me. My heart's with you, man.
Let's go to Jerry in Mason City, Iowa now. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Hi, George. Hi, Joel. Joel is my dad's name, so I knew I was going to get through tonight. I haven't tried for a long time.
Perfect.
Hi, Jerry. My dad's name was Joe, too, so we're on the same wavelength.
We are rocking on tonight. My son's third year anniversary this month. Yeah. In a few days of passing over. And I haven't had but I don't have the fortitude to even take that first step, Joe. How did you know that you wanted to take that first step, that it was, and my second question is, did you know it would be this satisfying for you?
Great question, Chair. I needed to find out whether this was real or Memorex. You know, I needed to find out if there was a way to connect to my heart was that broken, my soul was that empty. I had no idea that, once again, I was just taking notes for myself. I didn't know it would be a book. I didn't know it would be talking to you a couple years later. You know, this book got written in a year and published in 6 months. That doesn't happen. You know, that I'm not that talented a guy. You know, this happens because somebody upstairs wanted this thing to get done and my son was pushing it. And when you're ready, Jer, when you're ready, you'll take that first step. You'll go online and you'll read reviews and find a medium that works for you. When you're ready, don't let anybody tell you when you should be ready or when you should be done grieving or when you should start this process. You know, heck with them all. You know, when you're ready, you'll know it and pick up the book. And I think maybe it'll give you a little bit of a roadmap of what I did. Doesn't mean that's the way everybody should do it, but what I did. And I think it'll help when you start that spiritual journey to try to connect.
Sure will. Next up, we go to Charles in Elgin, Texas. Hey, Charles, go ahead.
Hey, Joseph. Hey, by the way, Georgia, thanks for helping us or helping me talk with Joseph tonight.
Sure.
And,
my pleasure.
The buddies. It's funny, Joseph.
The only one called me Joseph were the nuns when I was in trouble. Joe.
Okay. Oh, see, there was something that was telling me to just say Joseph just to see if what you're saying. But anyway, you know, I used to work and thinking of something keeps. I keep seeing Timberland boots because I used to wear those Timberland boots too. So especially when I lived up that way, you know. Where it's cold. I'm down in Texas right now. So.
Yeah, it's cold. It's cold here. That's
yeah, I know. Those are big boots too. But anyway, I was gonna say that my dad was a great man, and it's okay. As his son, you know, it's okay if I went before he did. It's definitely okay. It'd be a lot better, but.
But your dad would not have wanted that. I mean, and no parent wants their kid to go before they do. No parent. I mean, I don't know how you felt, Joe, but I'm sure you would have preferred to have gone in his place.
Oh, my God. And that's what the whole thing is. It's, you know, I had lost my parents, I had lost siblings, and those are the natural order of things. You know, this is the world being turned upside down in one event, one stroke. You know, so it's completely out of order, and that's why everything looks a little cockeyed to parents like me and my wife who've lost a son well out of order. You know, I should have been at his wedding. I should have been there when my grandkid was born, you know, and that just wasn't in the cards.
Do you feel cheated?
No, you know, remember when I was telling you I'd hit the knees and I'd be mad at God?
Yep.
And say, well, I got a message from him about 3 days into it that said, I didn't take your son. His free will and recklessness caused him to come home early, and I welcomed him home. And God said to me, remember, I lost a son too. So at that point, I knew that God didn't move people around like chess pieces, that my son's free will caused him to come home, and what God was doing was holding me up when I couldn't walk upright by myself for that first week. So it kind of changed my whole outlook on God. So, no, I don't feel cheated. You know what, George, I got to be Christopher's dad on this side for 21 years. I feel sorry for anybody who didn't have what I have.
Yeah.
You know, I'd make that deal tomorrow. As painful as losing him in this life is, I'd make that deal tomorrow for the 21 phenomenal years I had. I had the greatest job in the world for 21 years.
But when you talk about recklessness, I bet if you were to talk to those four young men who died that day,
yeah,
and said to them, you're gonna die, folks, if you go out on the boat, I'm sure they would have stopped and said, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And questioned it, and maybe they wouldn't have gone.
Of course.
You know, but this recklessness is all over the country now, Joe. People are doing it with prescription drugs,
right,
and everything else. I mean, they don't want to kill themselves. I don't think those four, son included, got into that canoe to say, hey, I hope we crash and flip and die. But the recklessness,
you know,
of everybody.
Natural bulletproof mind mentality when you're that age, you know, that you really think. And
you're invincible.
Yeah, you're invincible. And there's that oh crap moment, I think, when and Chris has actually said that, and said it actually a little more clearly.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's like,
tell Chris you can only say certain things on the radio, right?
He never thought that this would, one event would cause the other. And then when it was done, it was like, oh, my. You know, what happened?
I'm just wondering why nobody got to the canoe that was flipped over to hold on to it.
Well, I don't know either, and you know, nobody will know. You know, there's no cameras out there, and, you know, it what caused it? They get caught under it. Would they get caught under the ice? I don't know.
I mean,
I
it's just
know.
Weird.
We'll never know.
It's weird for four kids to die like that.
Yeah, I do know that it's painful to think about or talk about, but a couple kept trying to climb up on the ice, and it kept breaking.
Yeah. 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 I mean, was the canoe originally on the top of the ice?
No, it was, you know, early winter, January, so it was a partially frozen over. Mostly.
So it was cracking through ice, I guess.
Was mostly, you know, just lake with, and it wasn't horribly cold. It was in the 30s. But so it wasn't frozen over by any extent, but there were just, you know, sections that were frozen, mostly toward the coastline.
Joe, would you give out your website again?
Yeah, the website is www.mysearchforchristopher.com or www.joemcquillan.com. Upcoming events, contact, love to hear from you. And the book is mysearchforchristopher.com at Amazon.
You look like an ex-Marine on the cover, were you?
No, never served in the military. Had military in the family.
You got that look.
Never served in the military.
Okay, thanks, Joe. And again, condolences on your loss.
Well, thank you, and it was wonderful talking to you. Appreciate the outlet. Thank you.
Name of the book, My Search for Christopher. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.